And we're joined now by two seasoned financial analysts. They've been at this game for a long time. Andy Anderson, of course, has been with us a few times over the years, and Brian Lowe has also been with us, and they are both based here in Baton Rouge, and Dow Jones Industrial Average, of course, has been doing well, although as well as it's done, 26,660 as we speak, in the first year and 7 months or so, it did better under President Obama than it has under President Trump on a percentage basis. And Brian Lowe, this bull market, do you think it can continue forever?
Well, you know, things look great right now. So we got low unemployment rate. We got the price of oil's coming up a bit. We got things are looking good. So taxes are low. So now's a good idea to consider Roth IRA conversions and take advantage of some of the lower brackets.
Now, you are a believer in diversified strategy. You like stocks, and who wouldn't the way the market's been going now? But there is some danger in having everything in stocks. So why do you diversify?
Well, you know, most people I deal with are 65 and wiser and want to find a way to create an income plan, a roadmap, and they just don't want all their money in equities. There's definitely a place for that, and the question is how much. So we usually use the rule of 100. I just say if I'm 60, probably no more than 40% of the market. If I'm 70, probably no more than 30. And if I'm 80, no more than 20. So, again, it just depends on the client and how much risk you're willing to take.
All right. Well, Andy Anderson, who's a few years older than I, will soon be hitting that 65 mark. But he is a wild man about stocks. He loves stocks. Can't get enough of them. Andy, why do you think stocks are the way to go 100%?
It's just something I've been doing for 43 years now. And I'm a focus investor, which means I zero in on just a few ideas and really get to know those ideas and those investments. I think diversification is a great thing for the beginner. But once you get some experience and you start understanding and having confidence in what you're doing, the diversification thing just doesn't work for me at all.
Well, as we get older, we certainly don't want to be wiped out. And I think that's what Brian's saying, is that there is a risk of course, sometimes the rewards can be nice too, but there is a risk of being wiped out. And why take that chance if you're 65 or 70 or older?
I think you're going to get wiped out if you don't.
Why is that?
Just very simply that, you know, everybody wants to get in the rocking chair and sit on the front porch and not have to worry about anything. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, Jim, but recently there was a new Ponzi scheme that hit East Baton Rouge Parish. I didn't know if you saw that in the news or not, but it was recent that it was a $400 million Ponzi scheme that hit Baton Rouge for about $33 million. That's the latest number I've got so far. But, you know, when people get out there and start telling me that they've got a good return or a high return with very low risk, I get very suspicious. Right. I was invited by these people to meet with them, and a client of mine was invited to meet with them. And we all, my whole team went in and met with them, and we walked away saying, this looks like a Ponzi scheme to us. Well, they got arrested on September the 19th.
Well, not every investment strategy independent of stocks, though, is a Ponzi scheme. And I saw Brian nodding as you were talking, I think agreeing with you. But are there safer bets as far as diversifying and not going full-fledged into stocks?
I think everybody has their own set of values. And, you know, what do you value most? Safety, comfort, income, or growth? I think there's a certain set of values that people have for some growth. And today in Louisiana, I say we have a conservative mix of client base here. We have classes starting tonight at the library. When people take these classes, whether they have a million or 2 million or whatever the number is, they just don't want 50% or more of the money in the market based on, when I talk about values. Now, we can certainly say you have a set of values that you want to put a certain amount of money in the market and stocks, and I believe it's definitely a position for some. At the same time, it's really hard for me to say that people want all their money in the market.
What about a young person?
Even the younger people today, if they're 40 or younger, I see people aren't saving as much as they did, or the cost of living's higher. They got a house or two cars, and one car itself is $30,000 to $40,000 a piece. So they're having a tougher time saving. And when the markets are up and down, like in 2007 to 2009, I saw a lot of young people pull back on their savings, just putting money into the 401k. So you'd be surprised how many people aren't taking advantage of the company match and the free savings they're getting there. So,
well, it's not only age; it's also lifestyle. You take a person like me who's single; I have a lot less risk than somebody who has five kids.
Yeah, and I can say these younger people today, that you said lifestyle, they want to travel, and they don't want to some of them are not getting the big home to be able to travel. That's it's the younger generation. They think they want to put it off. Saving later, travel now. This is what they're saying. So,
you know, it's kind of like the siren song. You know, the Greeks talked about the siren song. The market can really fool you. And what my experience has been is that the best time to invest is when things are bad. Well, that's when there's a lot of fear out there and everybody hates the stock market. I can remember the 1970s. I can remember I started in the business in 76. The market bottomed in 75, didn't really break out till 82. And I had to sit there and try to convince people to buy stocks after one of the worst recessions since the Great Depression, which was 1974. So, you know, and then what happens is that everybody talks a good game about how they don't want risk and they want broad diversification and blah, 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 blah. And then 2000 rolls around and my phone rang off the hook, people wanting into this thing. So it's like the siren song and it'll pull you in. So everybody talks a real good game when things are difficult, but that's when they should be putting money in the market.
Well, the Dow went down to about 6,500 in 2009. That's just 9 years ago, and now it's 20,000 points higher. Yeah. But I suspect when it was going down, a lot of people were calling you and saying, I want out. I don't want to lose everything, Andy. What did you tell them?
Ted, hang on. It's coming back.
Well, that's easier said than done. And some people, of course, did get out. They made the worst of all decisions. They stayed in too long, and then they got out too early. So, Brian, some people just don't have the stomach for stocks.
Exactly. You know, everybody has a certain set of values for liquidity. There's some things out there making 10%, 100% liquid, and their money's not committed to any time frame. So, you know, is that 5%, 10%, 20% of your net worth? You know, people want some money there. It's
Brian,
not in the market.
Brian, how do you make 10% liquid?
There's specific products out there that are a deposit with an insurance company, and it was linked to the S&P 500. And you get a cap of about 10%.
You're not guaranteed 10%.
There was no guarantee. The guarantee was 3, and that they did make 10.
Yeah, so we'll see about that.
877-217-5757.
Sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
Well, no, I think it's a Ponzi scheme. We'll talk about it. Brian Lowe and Andy Anderson back. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle's producing, and in just a bit, we're going to hear from Reverend Raymond Jensen, who has some cogent thoughts to say about what's going on in our community regarding the violence that afflicts Baton Rouge, and it was on display in all of its vivid detail last Friday morning at 12:25 in the morning when Wade Sims, LSU basketball player, was gunned down near Southern University. Brian Lowe and Andy Anderson are with us. Brian's the Brian Lowe Financial Group, and Andy Anderson's BF Anderson and Company. They've been doing their thing for a long time. Brian's several years younger than Andy, so he hasn't been around as long, but they do have different strategies. Now, how much of your portfolio is in stocks, Brian?
It depends on the client, their age, and their value. So, you know, a lot of people that are 60 and 70, it might be 30 to 40% equities.
And you fit your strategy, and I'm sure others do the same, to the client.
Yeah, right? I'm a values-based investor, so you know, based on the client's values, where they want to put their money. So,
where Andy, it's one size fits all, right?
The question is, where's the other 70%?
Yeah, so if you look at a universe of options, look at corporate bonds, individual corporate bonds, look at a hybrid annuity with a guarantee of 7 to 10% on the income guarantee, and we look at the non-traded REIT with maybe hospitals or apartment complexes paying 6 to 7% on a dividend. And then we look at preferred stocks, so dividend-paying stocks, 6 to 7% on dividends.
All right. We've talked about this before, Andy, but Tracy notes that the stock market generally performs much better under Democratic presidents than Republican presidents. Is that just coincidence?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, under Obama and Clinton, for example, it tripled under both of them. It did much better under
maybe
them.
Maybe that was Reaganomics kicking in.
Reaganomics was he left office in 1989. How in the world would that affect Barack Obama?
I just tell
you're giving Ronald Reagan credit for what happened in the Obama years.
It's possible. It's all a cycle. Look, one thing that I think is the most important thing is confidence. And right now, about 2 weeks ago, the Small Business Optimism Index came out and gave the highest reading ever, at a reading of 108.8. Now, the highest reading prior to that was 107.6, which is in 1983. After that reading, see, the confidence index, in my opinion, is kind of like a spark that lights a fire. Because once you've got confidence, and then if you've got reasonable interest rates, which means easy credit, you have consumption.
All right. 877-217-5757. Still time to get in with these fine gentlemen, Brian Lowe and Andy Anderson. Different strategies, but both have had success in what they do, and that's handling people's money. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. And Reagan tripled the national debt, and this economy is being pumped up in the stock market with borrowed money that will eventually cause us go into a recession. The yield curve is almost inverted right now, which is almost a sure indicator for a recession. And there was a piece, I think, in the Washington Post the other day where Assistant Commerce Secretary for President Obama noted that the last 18 months under Obama, when you subtract the rate of inflation and use the median income, not the average income, because most of the tax cuts have gone to the wealthy, wages under Obama went up. If you do the same thing with President Trump, subtract the cost of living, and then factor in medium income, wages under President Trump is going down. So,
David, it's really important to note the yield curve has not inverted. It could invert, but it has not inverted, so don't stretch.
I didn't say that.
You're extrapolating.
Well, I didn't say that. I said it's flat. You would admit that, would you?
Oh, yes, but I don't think that necessarily.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think that means recession.
All right. Brian Lowe, you have an investment strategy that includes stocks. Now, Andy, he buys and sells stocks all the time. When you get into a stock, do you hold it or do you at some point,
it's not a pure buy-hold strategy, so definitely it's a broad diversification option, and there will be some trading as well.
Andy, when do you decide enough is enough, that this one's not going to work?
We have some rules. The primary rule we have is we will never commingle our clients' money with other people. In my own personal money, I will not commingle my money in a fund, okay? Just won't do it. The other thing I won't do is...
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm not going to invest in mutual funds.
All right. Now, I bet you do.
See, right now we're using ETFs, exchange-traded funds, so Vanguard or Fidelity.
You know, what if you have a fund in the 70s that has Walmart in it, okay, say 1% of the portfolio, but it also has 1% Kmart? You know, that's the kind of thing you get into with these funds. You don't. I guarantee
but
you.
But on the other hand, if you're an individual investor, what if you have Kmart and don't have Walmart?
Well, my point is this. People, there are more mutual funds out there now and exchange-traded funds than there are stocks. And I really think that people need to realize that their advantage, their edge, is liquidity. Mm-hmm. They do not have something called liquidity risk. So when you go into one of these funds, you inherit their liquidity risk, and so you lose your edge.
All right, we got some individual questions here. Another listener, Holly, asks if you're still bullish on Amazon, which, as I look, is at 1995, almost 2000, and, of course, has gone up, up, and away. And the richest man in the world now is Jeff Bezos.
Right, trillion-dollar company, basically. So is Apple. Look, the whole world right now is being driven by Amazon and Apple. What I tell people to do is look for the cousins.
So you're not in Amazon anymore?
No, I'm investing in companies that benefit from what's going on. In other words, Amazon has taught us that it's okay to shop from your iPhone sitting on the couch.
All right. Another listener asks about all this movement with Tesla based on the erratic behavior of the CEO, Elon Musk. Brian, sometimes a CEO can really make a stock move up or down. Yesterday, Tesla was up 45 points, by the way, and Friday it was down 42. So what's going on with Tesla, and is there a prospect of other companies being susceptible to the same kind of movement?
Well, he's being sued by the SEC, so he definitely put out some information he maybe shouldn't have. So you got to be careful in his position, what you do and can say. So still think about long-term growth with other stocks, but definitely he stepped on his foot there. So we got to take a step back and think about the situation.
We were ranked second in the country in 2013 because we had a position in Tesla and we also had a position in Facebook, concentrated positions, okay? So we ranked on Money Manager Review second in the country. Now, Tesla, the problem with Tesla is it's gotten too hard. You know, all investing is hard. And if anybody tells you it's easy, doesn't know what they're talking about. All investing is hard. Tesla's just too hard.
Why is it too hard?
Too much debt.
I agree with that. The balance sheet is in trouble. There's no doubt, but the stock keeps going up. You're missing out on something.
I mean, if you look at a chart on Tesla, it's been pretty choppy and looks like spaghetti.
Oh, yeah, but Right now it's at 305.
Well, why fool with that? Go to something that's in a nice, steady uptrend.
Is there any such animal?
Amazon.
Well, yeah, but you got out of that, too.
I got out of it because it's a trillion-dollar company, okay. And I'm going to look for I found Amazon in 1997 when it was six months after it went public.
Well, you have different strategies. You're looking for
I'm looking for the next Amazon.
The next new thing.
Right.
Now, Brian, I suspect you're looking for some stability.
Absolutely. Look, again, all people want to put some money in the middle. So corporate bonds, hybrids with a guarantee and make 60% of the stock market. They don't have to make all the upside. They just don't want to lose any money on the downside.
Yeah, but they're going to lose in the bond market if interest rates keep going up. If the 10-year Treasury goes to 4.5%, those bond funds are going to drop.
Won't that affect 50%. The stock market too, though?
Not necessarily, no. 4.5% is a very easy number for the stock market. If we get up to 9, 10%, that's something else. Realize now in 83, the 30-year Treasury bond hit 14%.
Well, Andy loves his stocks and
remains bullish. And to be frank with you, I do agree with Andy there on the bond fund. I definitely think there's a cancer in the bond fund today. I would say get out of the bond fund, look for a bond alternative.
And think about this. If people, all these financial planners start pushing people more towards stocks, which they're going to do because their clients are going to start complaining about those bond funds, okay? So you right now, now it's about 75-20. I mean, it's about 50-50. Then they go to 75-25. There are only 3,600 publicly traded companies right now, whereas in 1995 there were over 8,000. So you got less companies to go into and more cash coming in.
All right, Kyle asks, how long will the bull market continue?
Well, let's take that one there.
26 years.
How long?
26 years.
26 years before
I got a mathematical.
We're not
formula.
Going to experience 2008 until 2044.
No, I'm not saying it won't be. It's not going to be an easy
ride. Then it wouldn't be a bull market then.
Well, give me half a second here. If you go back 100 years and you look at every bear market and you look at every bull market, bear markets are fear. Bear markets are full of fear. Bull markets are full of greed. All right. So how many years or months, there is a correlation that if you go back 100 years, that if you have a bear market, correlation of the following bull market is 1.26. So this last bull market lasted 84 quarters. So 1.26 times 84 is 103, which is 26.
Well, thank you, Andy Anderson. Thank you, Brian Lowe. And we'll be back.